the confidence comes in, like, I am okay as a person. Not even okay, I'm like this big expression of the divine or God or source or whatever your word is for that.
Hello and welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Molly, and in this podcast, we have inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence as a healer and as a healer in business. This week's episode is a little bit different. In the past episodes, the healers that have been on the show have talked about what gives them confidence as healerpreneurs. There are many ways to build confidence, and I wanted to focus in this episode on using the body, our lived experiences, to build our confidence. And I couldn't think of a better person to talk to about this than my dear friend, Victoria Ramos. She's used her body her whole life as a fine-tuned instrument, first as a dancer, swimmer, and gymnast. And then as an adult, she became a yoga practitioner and teacher. And she also became highly trained in many different spiritual and body-based therapies, including somatic experiencing, a modality created by Dr. Peter Levine. We examined confidence through her lens of somatic experiencing, and I asked her if she could lead a somatic-based process to build confidence. It's called Access Confidence, and it's about 15 minutes long. It's in the last 20 minutes of this episode. We will remind you to pause the recording before the Access Confidence guided process begins. So without further ado, please enjoy learning more about developing confidence with Victoria Ramos, this week's Confident Healer. Hello, and welcome to The Confident Healer. Welcome back, everyone. And if this is your first time, welcome. This is season one, episode 9. So I'm your host, Sharmila Molly, and my guest today is a powerful and compassionate soul, and she's also a dear, dear friend. She is a multidimensional artist. So in the artist realm, she is a painter and mixed media artist. And in the healing arts realm, she has over 20 years of experience teaching vinyasa-based yoga and 20 years of experience as a practitioner of somatic experiencing through Dr. Levine. In her private practice, she incorporates shamanic techniques, yoga, psycho-spiritual counseling, somatic experiencing, and deep memory processing to offer a unique blend of imagery and movement, which allows for many levels of expression in her clients' therapeutic experience. She is certified to teach trauma-sensitive yoga to populations which have experienced overwhelming events in life. She studied Jungian depth psychology and dream work, and she still assists in the Peter Levine training program for the Somatic Experiencing Institute. In her workshops, she weaves shamanic practices, dream work, and art to guide you to express the authentic essence of your unique being. So please welcome with a big warm hug, Victoria Ramos. Welcome, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me, my dear.
Thank you for being here. So a little later on, we have a special experience that I've asked Victoria to do with us for you. And that's accessing confidence because of her work. As a somatic experiencing practitioner, I just thought it would be really appropriate to bring a guided experience so that you can be able to access confidence. So that's a little bit later. So Victoria, so how are you faring during this pandemic? We're in November.
Yeah, it's been a while, huh?
Yeah.
I am here in Portland, Oregon, and not like lovely Ojai with all the sunshine. We have very moist and, you know, misty days. Luckily, I have a home that I absolutely adore being a hermit in, so I've been doing actually quite well. It's forced me to not go anywhere and actually be at home. And really enjoying actually all the Zoom things because now I can practice with yoga teachers in New York City, and you know, it wasn't available before. So in a way it's good. In another way, it's, you know, the physical distancing is really not so great. I mean, you know, not being able to cuddle with people or hug them and, you know, or visit family now that the holidays are coming, because my family's like on two coasts here, and that's a little bit not the good part. Mm. But otherwise, it in so far as internal introspection, it's been forced on me. It's like, have no choice. No distractions, no choice. So, yes, thank you for asking.
So thank you for sharing that with us. And so I was fumbling through my description of what you'll be doing later with accessing confidence. And, you know, I just figured with your background of doing all the body-based counseling that you do, can you explain what some of that is, like the Peter Levine work? And
okay, let me see. I'm trying to make it like a logical thing here. And if it's not, excuse me, that's not the way my mind works. And all of us are in bodies, right? Whether, you know, you love it or not. It is high maintenance to be in a body, I must admit. You know, feed it, bathe it, clothe it, feel it. You know, it comes with emotions. It comes with everything, you know. So it's high maintenance, but it's an absolutely lovely. And the somatic experiencing, which really trying to come back to your question, is somatic experiencing is... it doesn't neglect the mind, you know, it's not, because we recognize, I can't say we, but my interpretation of it recognizes that the mind, yeah, it's there. I mean, it's, you know, your brain stem, you know, the nervous system, the spinal fluid, it's, you know, there's a lot emanating from there. But then there's a lot emanating from our lungs, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of Chinese medicine, that's where, you know, the grief and the ability to bond in our hearts, or the joy in our livers, you know, it's kind of, for those of you that are Chinese medical real practitioners, you're probably like, yeah, she just like butchered that. Anyway, you know, the liver is about the anger, and the spleen is about the sweetness, and, you know, and then all the intestine, you know, about digesting an experience, et cetera. In the Western world, we've kind of forgotten that. And the body is just a machine. Hmm. But the body is not just a machine. It's you and your body are one thing.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, like some people think about the soul being, you know, out there somewhere. And this is just sort of this little robot that cries and, you know, pees and things like that, right? Hmm. But not so. And even in the yogic, if I recall correctly, you know, that at one point I remember one of my teachers saying that the yogis believe that the soul is actually encased here, you know, in the sternum, under the sternum bone. Mm. That the somatic experiencing, what it will ask of you, or what it says, is that it's very trauma-based. It will say that the traumatic event is not necessarily in the event itself, but in the way the body responded to it.
Okay.
I just want to preface in this next clip, Victoria, being the ever so intuitive woman that she is, she answered my upcoming question about how confidence shows up in the body from the somatic experiencing perspective.
The mind will create what makes it comfortable for you to live with. Mm. And also it's the mind that creates all these belief systems. Belief system like, the world is not safe. Everybody's out to get me. You know, and on the opposite scale, oh, life is beautiful. on another end of the scale is like, I am free to express any emotion I want. When we're born as little babies, I mean, we're totally confident, you know, we gaga goo goo, mm-hmm. we crawl around the floor, and then the judgments start coming in, and then other people's projections start coming in, and then you know, and then here you are, this little creature, and it's like, oh, I guess that's the way it works. You know, it's like, you know, landing from outer space here and say, okay, here I am, I'm stuck here, better make the best of it. So, you know, we start to kind of get, okay, that's how they do it. I'll do it that way. That's how they do it. And that's how they do it. Most of us develop belief systems that are really limiting. So that if we take all that and then put it into a container of self-confidence, how can you be confident in yourself? For me, that the confidence comes in like, I am okay as a person, not even okay. I'm like this big expression of the divine or God or source or whatever your word is for that. But you know, that is like beat out of us, truly. Maybe not so much in the younger generations, but you know, I'm in my 60s and it was definitely beat out of us. Anytime you felt good about yourself, it was like, well, you certainly are, you know, full of yourself and things mm-hmm. like that. And self-confidence, number one, has to do with knowing that you're fine. And that's a really hard thing to do in our society. I remember one client of mine way back, she was a beginner and it was really simple. You know, it's like tree pose, this pose, that pose, you know. And then she said to me, like,
in this next clip, Victoria gives an anecdote of a client getting empowered and confident from doing different yoga poses. Keep in mind that as Victoria recounts the story, Victoria speaks in the first person as if she's the client.
You know, I did this cruise or something, and I was in Iceland, and we were walking along this little path along a cliff. And normally I would have been like, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. But because of the fact that I started developing safety in my body, mm-hmm. that my body could be there for me, I could, you know, because of tree pose and stuff, you know, I could walk along there and really enjoy it. So that the physical activities, yoga, swimming, whatever, anything that you can do that creates confidence that your body can do this for you is, I think, a big deal, you know. And then once we create that, then we can start working, oh, where did I get this idea that I couldn't do this?
How did you get into this type of work?
I think it's called having two kids and not knowing what to do. It's like, where's the manual? Oh my God.
Because you were you practicing yoga first, or did you learn?
No, I came to New York City to do a double major at Pratt Institute, which is an art school of dance and, you know, trying to be practical graphic arts when really I just wanted to be an artist. My mom and dad really wanted us to have careers or jobs. Once I got there, they had decided that the dance program was no longer a major. Yeah, so I went to Pratt Institute, totally loved it, decided to become an art director, and then decided I did not want to do that after I graduated, and started doing photography, mostly fine art photography, of which I had won a scholarship at Pratt. Then because of the my need for physical, you know, expression, or I just need to be physical, I started practicing yoga at the Jiva Mukti Yoga Center back in probably 1988. Or so, or 87. I just fell in love with it. And they're still around. They're actually quite wonderful. Mm. And, you know, it goes into the scriptures. It goes into all the facets of yoga. So it was a really good study. And from there, I wanted to do their teacher training, but because I don't know if I'm a perfectionist, I don't know what to call it, but I didn't feel confident enough to become a yoga teacher until I'd been practicing for almost 10 years. And it's like, you know, I think I can do this. So then I went and got to Om Yoga Center with a woman named Cindy Lee and got my certification there. So I started my own therapy and with a wonderful woman who was an intuitive. She actually channeled, but she was also a therapist. And she had a school called the Helix Institute for psychotherapy and healing. And so I went through her program, you know, again, mostly, you know, to organize my own self so I could be a somewhat decent parent to my children.
Okay. You know,
probably if you ask them, I totally like blew it. But I could say they were the inspiration. That was a 4-year program. And about year 2 or 3 of that, one of the teachers had introduced me to Peter Levine's work, Somatic Experiencing, and say, I think you would really like this. And so I just went over there. You know, it was more my internal curiosity and my like, because I've always had this sort of like the mystic in me. And I didn't really want to admit that it was mystic. But, you know, in terms of the human psyche, and that brings in, you know, art, because it's like, where does imagination come from?
Right.
Where does my appreciation of beauty come from? Where's the source of that, you know? So one thing led to another. And I had dropped the art for a really long time. And then after practicing in New York City for near 20 years, I decided that bye, everybody. And I just like, you know, rocketed myself up to the West Coast and decided to go back to my artwork. Only this time that I have all those, you know, all the shamanic training, all the dream work training, all the, so now I just, it was a beautiful detour because now I kind of feel like now I can just pour all this into the whatever format I have, you know?
Okay. Yeah. I never realized that. So you had gone in for your own, you went into therapy for your own healing inspired by your children, to be a better parent. And then that exposed you to different modalities that you later were able to learn. So, okay. So it was your own, like many healers, you know, heal thyself and like, oh, I can do this. I want to do this for other people. Okay. I did not know that, Victoria.
And so in terms of your audience though, I just fell into it, you know, it was just sort of like that, you know, you're in the water, just keep going. It wasn't that I thought I could do it. It's just, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Oh, I did it, you know. So it was more a process of not prejudging if I could do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like allowing myself to experience it. There are parts that, you know, I'm not the one that's going to tell you how the brain works, even though I've studied it ad nauseum. It's like, it's just like, yeah, fine, however that works. You know? I'm more, you know, I want to put my energies more here.
Right. They can explain the neuromechanics of things and where you're more focused on the art, the expression and the movement in the body. How, if you can remember, how did that transition of, you know, doing fine art photography to doing very heavy trauma work with people, like how did you, or did you feel really confident in putting yourself out there as this somatic experiencing practitioner, this like this deep psycho-spiritual counselor. How did that, do you remember that process?
Again, it was just sort of happened. Because when I started the somatic experiencing work, there wasn't, is not as big as it is now, not at all. So that I was assisting the trainings for the somatic experiencing. And as an assistant, the student has to come to you to experience sessions. So that, you know, they need a therapist, i.e. me, the assistants, to certify that they've experienced like 5 sessions with us. So then those students would then, you know, become clients, and some of which I still have. So, you know, we're talking 15 years ago.
It was kind of built in to.
It was built in, yeah. So it wasn't like I had to do anything. It just came, you know, it just fed in the same way as teaching yoga. I mean, so you do your training in a yoga studio and then you work for them in their studio, and then they hear about you and you can go to another studio. So there really wasn't much resume writing. Actually, there was no resume writing. It just happened. Luckily, right? So there was really no classical transition. I was just fell into
it. Right. So
the trick to that is allow it. You know, and perhaps that the path of least resistance, you know, like where is the universe nudging you? You know, of course there is some, you know, healthy resistance.
Right.
But like how much is healthy? I mean.
But it also sounds like there's also structure there, because within these programs that you were in, you're practicing and you are also, you know, you're an assistant and, you know, you're learning and you're getting to practice on other students. And because of, you know, the work that you did with them, they later became your clients. So that's, you know, with the somatic experience and then the yoga studio where you're teaching and kind of build a following, and then you know, they kind of follow you, the students kind of follow you wherever you go. So it was kind of just sort of built in and just following that flow, because it seemed like you were aligned with what you were doing. Like, okay, I'm teaching yoga. Okay. Yeah. I'm working with clients, doing somatic processing with all the other, with the Helix training and all the other trainings that you did. So with that being said, you can pause this here, and if you aren't in a comfortable place, if you're driving, just stop and come back to it afterwards. Because after this next section another 15 minutes is going to be a process that Victoria is going to guide you through. So explain what you are going to do.
Well, what I'm going to do is allow you to experience pathway to get to that part of you that is confident somatically. And just so you have that in your toolbox the next time that maybe you're entering into a situation, might even be like a party. I guess we don't do parties anymore, but you know, it might be a social, it might be a job interview. It's someplace that you start feeling like, oh my God, you know, I'm like, they're going to see they're going to see that I'm not really right, or whatever your story is. So what we're going to do is we're going to, emphasize just through you knowing that there are some things in your life that you're very competent at, that, you know, as I was talking about, that just flow naturally for you. In other words, you're not going against the grain of the you that you are, which might be different than the you that you are.
Right.
But, you know, in our world of judgment and comparison, and, you know, we forget that there's a you that I am that just is my flow.
Okay.
So that's all we're going to do. All righty. Hi, everyone listening, all you out there in podcast world. First of all, find yourself a comfortable position, meaning that you have either a wall or a chair, something that you can feel support, your back being supported. And then if you tend to be, you know, a cross-legged sitter, that works. If you're sitting in a chair and your feet are actually not touching the floor, take some pillows or something so you have contact with the earth.
This is a good place to pause the recording once you're in a comfortable position. And again, if you're driving, just pause it so you don't become distracted and zone out.
Just notice how it is that you feel that you're supported by the floor and by the wall and or the back of your chair. And allow yourself to really, even if it's like 10%, it's 10%. No, because support's a big trust thing. Are you there for me? Are you not there for me? But the floor is pretty stable. The chair is pretty stable. The wall's pretty stable. And plus, they're not human. So let these elements, I'm going to call them earth elements, offer you backup. And either your eyes can be totally closed or they can have that little soft focus. This time, just allow the lenses of the front lenses just to settle back like little clouds in the back of your eye sockets. Just rest. Just give yourself this 10 minutes of inquiry. How does my body take in support? And you might notice a little bit of dropping of the breath, maybe a little loosening of the shoulders, or maybe the belly's not so wound up. Yeah. Maybe there's a feeling of the legs giving in to the earth. Well, as if they could go even deeper than the floor. So we will call this arriving into yourself. And now begin to notice the pathway of your breath. Am I breathing through one nostril more than the other, which, by the way, is normal? You shift nostrils pretty much every 75 minutes. Just notice it. And notice what happens when you notice. And however this translates for you, allow deeper breathing to occur. And it's really a matter of allowing, because it's there for you always. From the moment you took your first breath. So return to the freedom of full deep breathing. maybe that breath goes all the way down to the end of your spine, i.e. the pelvic floor. Maybe not. And don't force it. We force enough. Remember, you're supported. Your glutes are on the floor in a chair. Your feet are on the floor. Your legs are on the floor if you're cross-legged. Your back is behind you. And notice in this support where the word safety might fit in. I am safe now. I am safe here in this moment. I am safe to breathe. I am safe to be. And with these cognitive thoughts, let's just see how your body responds. It's going to be different for each one of us. Your body might not believe you. I hate to inject that, but there's going to be parts of your body that absolutely do say, oh my God, thank you, I've been waiting. I've been waiting for you to acknowledge this. And let's find that part of your body that is acknowledging the safety. The here-now-ness, we can call it. Animals play when they feel safe, the little kitty cats, or the puppies, or even the little lion cubs. So this is your moment to be safe enough to play. And you can just play with being. And do you feel any expansion? Maybe you're just, you know, your rib cage expands just a little bit. Maybe you sort of have a sense of filling up from the breath, the whole body, like a jellyfish, you know, they breathe in and then they, phew, breathe out. And now from this state or this place, even if it's just a little bit, stay with that little bit of expansion, that little bit of joy or playfulness. And then we're going to layer on top of that something in your life that you are so confident about, that you know you got it. It's you. You don't even have to work at it. It's so you. It's like your birthright. And just bring that in and don't let any judgments get in the way. Just bring it in. And it could be like doing a cartwheel. It could be singing in the shower. Could be just enjoying beauty. Doesn't have to be an action. It can be a sensibility. and begin to notice how what happens in your body when you bring that in to your awareness, into your body awareness, into your emotional awareness, and into that little tricky brain of ours. And here you can explore smells, sounds, images, impulses, like, oh, I just want to like hug something right now, or have a piece of clay in my hands and just like, oh, feel it. Whatever comes up for you. As you're in this safe, playful, I got it place. And we're just gonna let this place marinate for a few more minutes. Take all the time. And take even more time. Noticing what's it like to be me in this place? What is it like to be in this room, in this place of me? And bring the breath with you. Maybe you're feeling little tingles in your extremities or chills, or maybe track a little bit of those sensations also. It's kind of like the nervous system letting go. And again, allow that to happen. Yeah, and if you feel yourself getting a little stuck, just breathe. Remember to breathe. And then when you're ready to land, very, very, very slowly. You can hang out here as long as you want. Like Hansel and Gretel with the breadcrumbs, remember how you got here. Because you might need it someday, sometime. When you come back, very, very slowly opening your eyes and not having hard focus on anything, just be soft, like the mist here in Oregon and then forest of the Northwest Pacific Northwest. Just a mist. And your eyes will adjust as they need be.
Okay. Well, welcome back, everyone. For those of you that went on that journey, thank you so much, Victoria.
You're welcome.
I found myself visiting so many different places where I felt confident in. And that was just a really great reminder. I was like, this place. I was like, well, I feel confident in this place. I was like, well, I don't think it really matters. I don't think I have to stay in one place. So, yeah.
True.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, hopefully you all enjoyed that as well. So that was a accessing confidence experience by Victoria Ramos.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being here with us tonight. And I hope that helped you.
I want to tell people how they can get a hold of you. They can contact you by going to your website, victoriaramos.net. And that's Ramos with an R-A-M-O-S. Of course, this will all be in the show notes. Yeah, Victoria, thank you so much for being here today and sharing all that you do, all of who you are. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and let's give her a big hug goodbye. Thank you.
Return hug.
And thank you all for being here and listening and to the Confident Healer. We will see you next time. Bye.
Want to know more about how to contact my guest? Then go to theconfidenthealer.net. This is also the best place to listen to the podcast. And while you're there, click subscribe to rate the show. Let's get those algorithms working to get this podcast to the masses. Thanks for listening and see you next time.